Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
You guys, it's me, Joe Patrick, in the studio with Mr. Wooly Toots, recording the answer of the week. You know what that is, don't you? It's the answer of the week. It's the show where we just shut up and let you talk so that we don't have to do any of the work. That's what Matt says anyway.
Still a lot of work.
It's still a lot of work. Podcasting is hard. You're welcome. Look, we put up the question. You guys call in. You send your MP3s. You call the Ziggurat hotline, 402-819-4894. But before we can get to any of that, we need to know what the question was. Toots, tell us.
The question this week came from whom?
This was from Jason Sachs.
Jason Sachs. This is the Sachsier, right?
Jason Sachsier.
That Matt claims is really cute. He sent a photo last time. And Matt's
adorable,
like,
he said.
Adorable.
Yeah, you know, like.
Okay. Like a Monchichi.
Like a Monchichi.
Anyway, the question is, what is your favorite comic-themed gift that you've ever received?
I love it.
I do too. I want to hear what creative gift givers gave our listeners.
Our first call comes from right across the river in Iowa. It's our main man, Camarillo Brillo. Cam, take it away.
Hey guys, it's Carl Smith. Just calling in to tell about my favorite comic related present. I don't talk about my wife much on the internet or on this show because she chooses to not be involved in social media of any sort, and I have to respect that. But I will tell a story about her here, and that is that recently she bought me a comic-related present that blew my shoes off. Not so much because it was so incredible, which I think it's incredible. It wasn't rare or anything, but because she's so detached from anything I'm interested in, especially comic books, that it was amazing that she came up with this idea. When I was a kid, I did have a couple, if not all, of the Byrne Man of Steel miniseries. My brother and I both fight them a lot. And one of the things that we used to do is kind of fight over which one of us owned the variant cover before we knew what a variant cover was. I guess the direct edition had just a close-up of Superman's chest, and he was tearing off his suit to reveal the giant red and yellow S. Now, that was a good memory that I had alone, just that my brother and I both owned these comics and somehow squabbled over which one of us got stuck with the regular cover and which had the special one. But anyway, recently I've gotten back into Superman, and he's become probably my new favorite superhero. And these books are kind of what ushered that back in. Through Joe's guidance, I figured out that they had John Byrne reprints in these trade paperbacks, and I'm currently rifling through the entire series, and I love every minute of it. And kind of fell back in love with these old issues. And my wife, out of nowhere, for our anniversary, bought me a giant wooden display where this has kind of been screen pressed onto it, just that cover of the Man of Steel. And it means so much to me because it's something that does mean something to me outside of our marriage, and the fact that she went out and did something which she probably considers completely childish and wacky, and she just took a shot in the dark and ended up just absolutely nailing this present. So I have it in my basement right now, and it is like the centerpiece of my man cave, and I love it, and I love that comic. Thanks, guys.
And that's awesome.
Aw, it's so sweet.
That is awesome.
That's love, baby.
True love. Man, I'm trying to think if my wife has ever...
Especially if she was, like, shaking her head as she was doing it. She's like...
pulling out her credit card, just mad about it. No, that's super good. I am furiously searching my memory to figure out if my wife has ever given me a comic-related gift, and I can't come up with one.
My wife did, but I did her the disservice of making her exchange it for something because she Did not make the right choice.
Oh. Womp,
but womp. Bravo to her for making an attempt.
A for effort. Carl, thanks for your call. Always nice when you call in. Happy to hear from you. All right. Our next call comes from good old Elise Wisdom, calling not from Lincoln, but from Omaha, as we deciphered last week.
A Lincolnite in Omaha.
I'm going to jump right into this week's question. What was your favorite comic-themed gift, and put a little spin on it? I've always been more into giving than receiving, so I like to take this time to talk about a gift I got from my dad last year and what it represented. A couple of episodes ago, I mentioned watching X-Men cartoons as a kid with a bowl of cereal. What I didn't mention was that my dad was sitting right next to me. He grew up reading the X-Men comics and passed on all the important information to me, such as why Wolverine is the best. I didn't get to read the comics because my grandma apparently threw them all out when my dad left for college, but I took the information given to me and used it to play superheroes with the boys on the playground and to bond with my dad. He raised me by himself for most of my younger years and didn't always know how to raise a girl and wasn't always perfect, but for better or for worse, he helped make me the person I am today. I'll be 30 years old in 9 months, and I still like to play with the boys. And I still like to talk about X-Men movies with my dad. Last year, I found a tin sign, the kind you hang up in your garage, but this one had Wolverine on it, and it looked totally badass. He did indeed hang it up in his garage, and I really hope that every time he pulls his Ford F-150 into the driveway, he thinks about eating cereal and watching X-Men cartoons with his daughter. Merry Christmas, bub. Wisdom out.
Damn it, Elise.
I'm crying.
Don't you know that this is no place for emotion?
That is a beautiful answer, Joe, and it may have influenced mine. I mean, I already have my answer.
Yeah.
But I think it may have put a spin on my answer as well. Damn that Wisdom.
Aptly named Elise Wisdom. Thank you for your call. Made me feel things that I'm not accustomed to feeling.
We're holding hands.
It's Dusty and the Ziggurat. Moving on. I don't know who this is. And unlike Matt Bomb, I'm not going to check first. We're just going into it.
I love it.
I got it. It's Anthony from Brooklyn.
Hello, nerds. This is Anthony from Brooklyn calling in with the answer of the week. Best comic book related Christmas present. So for me, back in the mid to late 80s, I was living in Panama. My father was in the military. We were stationed in Panama, and I lived there for a couple of years. While I lived there, I was an active comic book collector at this time, and I had gotten my hands on select issues of DC's Who's Who, which is, back in the day, DC's version of Marvel Universe. So in the back of each issue, there's a page that would tell you where you could see the heroes or villains and characters that were listed in the issue. And when I was reading the back of it, I kept seeing this series pop up over and over again. They kept mentioning this character would be in something called Crisis on Infinity Earths, which is how I refer to it because I'm stupid. So I see it over and over again, and I'm like, wow, I've got to get my hands on this Crisis on Infinity Earths thing. So I lived in Panama and did not have access to comic book stores. So my parents had gotten a friend of ours to go to a comic book store back in California. We lived in California for a bit. I didn't always live in Brooklyn. Anyway, this friend of ours got all the issues, and going into a comic book store when you're a civilian is a daunting task when you're, you know, not into the comic book thing. So they sent all the comics to Panama. I opened them up on Christmas Day, and it didn't matter what else I received for Christmas that year. It's definitely for now the only thing I remember, and it was the only thing that mattered. And I sat and pored over every issue for the rest of that day, and it was up to that point in my life the finest reading experience I'd ever had. It was amazing. I still remember it, and I'm chasing the dragon. I'm still chasing the dragon, looking for that type of experience again. But yeah, it was great. That's my answer. Take care. Bye.
Well, Anthony knew who he was talking to, didn't he?
Yeah. Yes, he did, Joey. He's got your number.
That's a great answer, Anthony, and I love it. So last week, you may recall, we mentioned how Anthony had something at the beginning of his call that was indecipherable and piercing. And it happened again on this call. I have spoken to Anthony and I have found out that he was trying to give himself his own lead-in theme song like a wrestler. No Sleep Till Brooklyn, because he's Anthony from Brooklyn, which I think is awesome. Points for trying, buddy. And when Matt comes back, maybe he can help you figure out how to get that done. Obviously, I'm a huge fan of Crisis on Infinite Earths. I remember seeing the poster for the first issue on the window of the 7-Eleven on 13th Street, right outside Bellevue, as you're going down 13th Street into Bellevue. And I was in the car outside while my dad ran inside, and I'm in the car staring at that goddamn poster on the wall going, what is that? How can I make it mine? And it wasn't until years later, well, I don't know, it wasn't until way later that I finally actually got an issue. But man, I was into it from the start. Good answer, buddy.
It's a great answer. And, you know, bravo to your parents for taking the effort, getting somebody else involved, and shipping it all to you.
Okay, guys. Here we go. Randy Andrews is here with his answer, calling from his smoking room, or whatever you call it.
Is the room like fancy smoking because it's on fire, or there's a hell mouth, or...
Or I think maybe like, sometimes they call it a drawing room, even though you don't do any drawing there. I don't know.
Okay.
It's like a place where classy gentlemen put on their smoking jackets and sit by the fireplace. That's how I imagine it. They think they're thoughts.
I got it. That's called the toilet.
Here's Randy Andrews calling from the toilet.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. This week, you had asked a really simple question. The question that makes you think way back. What kind of gift, what special comic-related gift, have you received that you really treasure?
Okay,
gotta tell you guys that I know on your actual podcast, you had said that it was related to, say, Christmas. Well, guys, I don't celebrate Christmas. You can ask me in person about that. But...
Sounds heavy.
I do celebrate anniversaries. And one thing that I really appreciated was that my wife, she actually remembered that I really like comics. And so she bought me the history of Iron Man in a comic book form. It's a very solid trade paperback type book that gives you the entire history of Iron Man from his beginnings clear till now. It also gives you a reference for the different Iron Man suits that he had. Well, that's my answer this week, guys. I hope you like it. And check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.net. Yes, it's soundtrackalley.net. And I hope you check it out. And we'll see you in a week.
He got a new website.
Bye for now.
He must have a ghetto blaster right next to the toilet so he can play that music. Do people still call them ghetto blasters?
I don't know, but I appreciate you for doing so. Randy, I do like your answer. I think I loved that sort of stuff. Handbook style, like, here's the deal with this character, all of his specs and stats, diagrams of his armor. I am heavy into it, buddy.
Yeah, that sounds like it's a pretty cool book.
Thanks, as always, for your call. Hey, whatever you got going on this weekend, or this Thursday, I hope it's a good one, Christmas or not.
Man, it sounds like wives and parents are really delivering. Right? It's all about the loved ones, right?
That's the theme. He doesn't call in often, but when he does, you know it's special. It's Keith Silva, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, man, I love this bit.
Joe, Matt, it's Silva. You guys intro'd me already, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, So when I heard this question was submitted by my friend and one of the nicest guys in the multiverse, Jason Sachs, I knew I had to call because I have a Sachs-centric Christmas story.
Oh.
Matt, do you remember those ads that ran in the back of every Cerebus comic for Diamondback cards, prints, and whatnot?
Nobody read Cerebus.
Okay, cool. Joe, there was a comic called Cerebus the Aardvark.
I get it.
It starred an aardvark named Cerebus. I think he hates girls.
What an asshole.
He wasn't
anyway,
fun.
So there were ads in the back of the comic, and they sold all this stuff, including the official Cerebus toy. Well, Mama and Papa Silva bought their ever-loving Cerebus-crazed son one of these toys on or around Christmastide 86, let's say. It cost $15 and $4.25 for postage and handling. And you had to make out the check to someone named Sheila M. Watson. The same year, my friend and fellow member of Matt's tribe, Dan Schumann, also received the Earth Pig for Hanukkah as well. Except for a black vest, no two toys were alike. Watson made each Cerebus by hand.
Holy
proof, as our official Cerebus toys look nothing alike. I kept Cerebus for the next 27 years until I co-authored an article with Sachs about Cerebus and the problem with Dave Sim for Comics Bulletin. Sachs is a Cerebus completist. He's got the comics, art, cards, a lock of Dave Sim's hair, that speculation.
What?
You name it. What he didn't have was the official Cerebus toy. So I sent Sachs Cerebus. You see, nerds, Christmas, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, the solstice, it's a time of giving. Knowing Cerebus is safe and sound in Sachs's Sanctum Sanctorum was the best comic-centric Christmas gift I've ever received. Except, of course, Starman Volume 1, because, well, duh. Happy Christmas. And to all nerds, a good night.
Well, that's a pretty good one there, Joe.
Yeah.
The gift giving goes on.
Oh, man. Silva, knocking it out of the park with the production value of his MP3. Everyone can learn a thing or two from that guy.
Oh, yeah. And I love that Pogues tune he had there.
Oh, yeah.
That's a classic. All about beating each other up.
Handmade, one-of-a-kind Cerebus action figure.
I did not know that was
1986.
I remember there being an action figure, but I had no idea that they were, like, you know, individualized like that.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing. In his email, Keith wrote to us, "Nerds, I hope the baby Jesus is everything to both of you this holiday season. Best, Keith Silva." Same to you, buddy.
Hey, man, we embrace all the holidays.
Yeah.
I mean, all the different beliefs.
It's cool.
Not just the Jesus.
It's cool.
All right.
Oh, I got bad news for you, Keith Silva. Jason Sachs sent in his answer right after you did, and it ain't Cerebus. Let's move on to the man that sent the question.
Have
Jason
yourself
Sachs himself.
A merry little X-Men. Oh, God, that's so corny. Oh, what a... Anyway. Hi, guys. Jason Sachs here at Jason Sachs on the Twitters. So my story about my best Christmas gift ever is a little bit bittersweet. I'll tell you the sweet part and then get to the bitter part. So a few years ago, my good friend Laura gave me a comic for Christmas, the official Marvel No Prize book. So I get it. I'm like, oh, that's cute. That's not in any way comparable to the fancy hardcover book I got you that I went out of my way to get. But I'm all right. That's cute. She says, all right, cool. Well, open the cover, and the comic is autographed by Stan Lee. And I'm like, oh, my God, that's so cool. What a nice, thoughtful, interesting, fun thing for you to do for me. She's like, wait. It gets better. She's like, flip through the comic a little bit and get to a page that has Ego, the living planet, and whose autograph should happen to be on that page? But a certain Mr. Jack Kirby. So I have a Marvel No Prize book autographed by Stan Lee and Jack Kirby.
Holy moly.
It's so thrilling. I have a Jack Kirby book. The bitter part is that she and I had a falling out as friends several years ago, and I can't stand her. And so this book reminds me a little bit of her, but
so that bitch.
Nice little comic.
What did you do, Sax?
Kirby. Yay. I'll send it over to you guys. Attach this email with the MP3 so you can check it out for yourself.
Thanks
a lot. Have a Merry Christmas. See you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Jason. He did send the picture. It is glorious. It is a picture from the No Price book autographed by Stan Lee. It's exactly what he says.
Wow.
That's a pretty rad gift. And I bet you that after you guys had your little breakup, she was pretty pissed about going to all that effort.
I think you need to embrace the spirit of the season and reconcile.
Oh, yeah.
Reach out to your friend.
Oh, boy.
And become friends again.
You heard it here. Toots. He's a peacemaker. Jason, thank you very much. That is a great answer. These are all really good.
I'm having fun. I'm feeling lots of feelings.
I'm feeling very festive. I wish we had some Christmas music playing or, you know, holiday. I just want to feel the season. Greg Litchfield, the THN old timer, sends in his MP3. I bet it's a good one. It always is.
Ho, 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 ho. Season's greetings, two-headed nerds. This is your number one true believer, Greg Litchfield, and the official THN Jolly Old Saint Nick.
The best comic-related gift I ever received was given to me by my parents on Christmas Eve in 1974. I was 16 by that time and a true Marvel maniac. Not only was I buying major titles like The Amazing Spider-Man, Fantastic Four, and Avengers, but more obscure titles like Amazing Adventures featuring War of the Worlds, Marvel 2-in-1, Man-Thing, and The Hands of Shang-Chi, Master of Kung Fu. These were in the days before comic book specialty stores, so if I wanted to find some of these more sporadically distributed Marvel comics, I had to walk or ride my bike to as many as 4 or 5 drugstores, newsstands, or when I was really desperate, the dreaded 7-Eleven spinner racks. Thank goodness, back in 1974, Marvel comics were still only 25 cents, so my meager $1 a week allowance was enough to purchase most of my beloved monthly Marvel masterpieces. Before the internet, or even comic book news magazines, the only news of forthcoming Marvel mags was from the Bullpen Bulletins page and those beloved bombastic Stan Lee soapboxes. I'm sure it was there that Stan was hawking his new book, The Origins of Marvel Comics, written by Stan the Man Lee himself, which featured reprints of the original comic book story origins of The Fantastic Four, The Hulk, and my personal favorite, Spider-Man. I knew I had to have this book, but at cover price of $9.95, I knew I'd never be able to save up for it without sacrificing some of my monthly Marvel comic books. Origins came out that fall, so I began planting the seeds early on that this was the most important present that my parents could buy me for Christmas. I guess my not-so-subtle suggestions worked, because on Christmas Eve, when my mother would pick out one gift under the tree that I could open, she gave me the beautiful 250-page full-color tome of Super Heroic Splendor. Oh, that night in bed, before going to sleep, I read the first few pages of The Origins of Marvel Comics with the introduction written by Stan Lee in his usual humble manner. However, the most important words written in that book, which still sits proudly on my bookshelf, were written in blue ballpoint pen by my beloved and dearly departed mother. To the king of comic mania, with love from mom and dad. This is Greg Litchfield saying,
Merry Christmas to all, and to all, nuff said.
I love it. My library had those old original Marvel trades on the shelves in the kids section, Origins of Marvel Comics, Bring on the Bad Guys, something about, I don't remember the name of it, but it was all about women. There was like a Red Sonja story and the origin of Invisible Woman and all that stuff. I loved those books, loved them. And that is an awesome answer. $9.95, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Wowzers. How times have changed. Greg, thank you so much. We got to keep this going. We got a voicemail here. John from Jersey calling in on the Ziggurat Hotline.
Greetings, nerds. John from Jersey calling in again with my answer to the question of the week. My greatest Christmas present that was comic book related is a Batman collected edition, but I should give you a little background on this. My Uncle Kurt, on my father's side, used to leave old collected editions of early Batman comics flying around, really goofy, silly stuff, high adventure. And my favorite issue that he had at his house, my grandparents' house at the time, was Batman, I think it was 300, 400, or 500. In any case, Ra's al Ghul released all of the villains from Arkham Asylum, and they started this giant campaign against Batman. It was some awesome, awesome, epic fun. Well, that Christmas, my Uncle Bill, on my mother's side of the family, got me this collected edition. It was this black book that, when I first looked at it, I feigned interest, but really didn't have much appreciation for it. This was a really nice collected edition, black, kind of leathery outside with a nice bookmark on the inside. Lots of back matter prose in the middle. Little did I know at 10 years old that what I had just gotten was Batman Year One and Ooh. Batman The Dark Knight Returns Holy collected crap. Into a single volume.
What?
Collector's edition with some interesting writing in the middle and a Christmas Batman story. Later that year, I picked it up and decided to give it a try, and it blew my mind. It showed me that Batman could be both super cool, adventure, fun, fighting crazy villains, and it could also be really dark and twisted and poignant, at least to a then 11-year-old. Anyway, it really, really opened my mind as a young comic book reader to all the possibilities that you could have from one single character, so long as it was well-written. And it set the bar pretty high for what I would judge from that point forward. In any case, for this time, I think we can let mine be DC. Have a happy holidays. Talk to you guys in the new year.
Those sleek leather Batman hardcovers that they made.
Yeah.
Those are awesome.
Those are sexy.
Oh, man. Every once in a while, they'd come into the shop, right?
Uh-huh.
And it's impossible to figure out like what you should do with them, because it's not like you can just put it out for $20.
Yeah, right.
It's such a weird artifact, and they were so scarce that, man, those are something special, and those are really gorgeous.
Yeah, yeah. Those are like an heirloom.
An heirloom, yeah.
At this point.
I love it, John. Thanks for the call, as always. Oh, look at this. We got a guy here calling in. Steven Firo, not to be confused with Stephen Fino,
okay,
the THN Master of Coin. Stephen Firo writes in saying, "Hey, Twitter nerd, this is my answer to the question of the week. I have a cold, so that might get a little annoying. Sorry, my immune system is such a pussy." That's terrible. Stephen, hope you're feeling better. Let's get to your call.
What is up, two-headed nerd? This is Stephen Firo from Arkansas, emailing in for the question of the week. Yes, you heard me correctly. Stephen Firo, not Stephen Fino, the master of coin.
There you go.
I know, it's confusing. Confuses me week after week when I hear that guy call in, and I can't tell if he's stealing my name or what, but whatever. I guess there's a big enough world for two Stevens. I digress. Let's get to the question you asked us this week. What is the best comic book related gift that we've received? And for me, it was a no-brainer. I have issue 19 of Batman from the New 52, and it's not a special issue. There's nothing crazy going on, no new revelations in the world of Batman. But this comic book was given to me by my best buddy, my partner in crime, Hunter Thompson. And what makes this comic book that much more special is it is signed by Scott Snyder. When I saw that, I was blown away. Snyder is one of my favorite writers in comics today. And having his signature, it made the gift just really special. We all love getting comic books. We all love getting something related to the comic book world. But when you get it from a loved one or a best friend, I mean, it makes it all that more special. And anyway, I love the guy. He knows exactly what kind of comics I like to read, and he really pulled through. And I'm going to get out of here before this gets too sappy and a little homoerotic, although Matt, I think you might like that a little too much.
He's into it. Taste. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, we can anyway, feel his boner from here.
I'm really looking forward to hearing everybody else's answers. You guys can find me on Twitter at Stephen Fero. It's all lowercase, STEPHENFEERO. And you can find me pretty soon on the soon-to-be-released podcast Comic Hogs with my buddy Hunter Thompson, where we just talk about comics because we love them. Sorry, guys. Shameless plug.
That's anyway, okay.
Have a great week, guys.
We want you to call in and plug your That's what we want. I don't know what's more impressive, the fact that his buddy got Scott Snyder's autograph and gave it to him for Christmas, or the fact that he is best friends with Hunter S. Thompson.
I was going to say the same thing.
Especially considering that the man's been dead for years. That is a great call. A wonderful answer. Steven, have you called before? If not, welcome aboard. But I feel your name is kind of familiar. Maybe I've just interacted with you online or on the Facebook page or whatever. Regardless, thanks for fighting through the cold and the sniffles to send us your answer.
I'll be checking out his podcast.
Send us a link when you get
it up.
See,
we'll see how this thing goes.
Heck yeah. We got to check out the competition.
Right? He's hosting it with a ghost.
That already, they've got an unbeatable gimmick. All right, moving on. Matthew Mahar, or Mahar, I always forget. All I know is, on the forums, he's Maharjan. His email says, I debated recording this while driving through McDonald's just because I could. I got lazy, though. I thought that would have been fun. You could have gotten had a little cameo by the drive-thru guy. Maybe next time.
Greetings and praise to our two-headed overlord. This is Matt and Harjen on the forums and the Twitter, and this is the best comic-related Christmas gift I've ever received. We're going to travel back in time to the early 90s. The gift was from my parents, and it was a pair of leather-bound collected editions.
Uh-oh.
The first, purple with leather and gold trim pages, and covered by, I believe, Dean Motter, was The Stacked Deck, the greatest Joker stories ever told. Stories ranged from all over the history of the character. It was my first introduction to comics of the 60s and 70s. There were some classics in there, The Laughing Fish, The Great Clayface Joker Feud, The Man Behind the Red Hood, 20-something in all, I believe. The companion piece was the complete, well, complete as of then, Frank Miller Batman, Year One and The Dark Knight Returns. This was my first exposure to Miller as well. There's nothing to be said about his work on Batman that hasn't already been said. It's great. Wish I could say there was some kind of thought behind these gifts, but in reality, they saw some comics and figured, what the hell? The weird kid likes Batman. Worked out pretty well for me. Peace.
Well, I was not expecting two guys to call in with the same answer.
Hey, man, that's pretty rad.
That is rad. Maybe those books weren't as scarce as I thought, but
I recall seeing the Joker one. I don't know if I've ever seen the other one.
Oh,
the
Dark Knight one. It's black. Slick.
And but I've seen the Joker one.
Man. But it's a great like two-piece set.
Yeah, that's nice.
I'll have to look into this. I wonder what you had to do to get them, or if they just sold them at comic shops or specialty shops at the time. Jason Sachs would know. He's not here right now, but maybe he can call in. Next question of the week, give us a little update on this answer. Matthew, thanks for calling in. He signed off his email. Happy Hanukkah, bitches. Likewise, sir. Our final call of the day goes to our buddy, Shonix. You know him. You love him.
I love him.
He's probably angry about something, because that's just how we think he always is going to be.
It's a calm angry, though.
It's a real level-headed kind of anger. Let's see what Sean has to say.
Hello, Two-Headed Nerd. Shonix emailing in with my answer to the question of the week. Sorry I missed last week's question, boys. Or am I? Dun-dun-dun. And big props to Wooly Toops for calling in on the Star Wars. I mean, I'm tired of so-called Star Wars fans saying that the prequels soiled their feelings for the original trilogy. And I just let it go. Let it go. Just if you don't enjoy the movies, fine. But if you enjoy them, enjoy them. That's what it's all about.
I told you I love Sean.
This week's question was fantastic. We got to go back to 1989 again. That's the well for me. Not a lot of comic book. I got a lot of Star Wars, a lot of G.I. Joes growing up, mostly from my grandmother. But the one comic book-esque present I got was when I went to the comic shop. It was in, it had to have been, you know, no, late November, early December of 1989. And Arkham Asylum had came out by Grant Morrison and McKean. I can't think of his first name right now. But it had came out, I think, in October. And I was looking at it at the shop and looking at the shop. And I was in there with my dad. He took me to the shop because I couldn't get down there. And we're walking around and I kept pulling off the shelf. And he finally was just like, you know, he goes, if you want it, I'll get it for you. Just we'll call it an early Christmas present. And I remember taking it up to the Twin Cities because that's where my dad's, most of my dad's family was at. And showing it to my uncles and showing it to my cousins and just showing it off because I just thought it was amazing. McKean's art is fantastic in that book. Very creepy, very dark. And at the time, that was new for me. And I remember not showing it to my grandma because I remember on the ride up flipping through it. And I just didn't read it yet. I just kind of flipped through it, looked at it. It's just beautiful to look at. But that scene when Two-Face pisses himself in Arkham Asylum, I was like, I probably shouldn't show this to my grandmare. So great question, guys. Keep them coming. I'll try to keep answering them. Have a happy holiday to all. And thanks for the show, guys. It's been a great year. Peace.
Thank you, buddy. We appreciate your dedication and your support. You're one of the good ones. Check out Sean's podcast with his buddies. Signed in. It's awesome.
Yeah,
I look forward to it every Fortnite.
Yeah.
Arkham Asylum. I have to confess, I have never read Batman Arkham Asylum.
I've never read it either.
Oh, okay. I know it's one of the classics. People consider it a classic.
Sure, sure, sure.
I'll have to check it out. It's on my list. I may even own a copy. I've just never gotten around to it. But I do love that answer, and you probably made the right decision not showing it to your grandmama. So, Jared.
Yeah.
Favorite call.
Okay, man. Listen, she's been pulling it out. She's she's been racking it up there when it comes to favorite calls.
Yeah, like, it's true.
I got to give it to Wisdom. It was a beautiful answer. It showcased the love and support and sharing that comes from a parent. It doesn't matter what it is. You know, it made me think about, you know, to apply that to my own life and like the answer I was going to give, which would have been a gift from my mother. And then it made me think my mother has, and my father, they've been very supportive of my love of comics ever since I was a lad, a very young lad in my 12s of years and younger. It brought a lot of feelings to me, Joe, and made me go, maybe that should be my answer. But you know what? I'm not going to steal her thunder from such a touching story, but I am going to give her my favorite call, favorite answer.
I love it. I love it. And I'd be lying if I didn't say I was tempted to do the same, but I'm going to give it instead to Keith Silva.
I had it written down here on my list too, as a possible one for paying it forward.
Yeah. Because he also, like Elise, stated that his greatest gift was the gift of giving and bringing some joy into the life of somebody else. In Silva's case, not only a friend, but a super fan of a character in a situation where Keith could give Jason something that literally no one else had on the face of the earth. A one-of-a-kind item.
Yeah.
Priceless.
Yeah.
Priceless.
Big time.
I love it. You guys, I almost said that everyone was my favorite and screw picking them, but Matt demands...
That could be your gift to all the listeners. You're all winners.
You are all winners. Listen, but Matt demands that we pit you against each other. And so that's how it goes.
Yes. You must fight in the gift-giving arena. Only one can stand.
So, Jared, what's the best comics-related gift you've ever received?
All right. So over the course of this, however many minutes we've done this, 42 minutes or whatever, it's spinning up over there.
That's what it says.
I went all over. I time traveled back and forth and all around. I, in the beginning, said my wife did a bad job and I had to, but she's done a great job in other areas, like other times with comic related gifts. And my grandparents, my parents, all this, you know, I have been blessed to have received thoughtful comic book related gifts over the years, but here's what I'm going to go with.
I'm ready.
We're going back to 1981, the year I discovered that I must forever collect comic books from that day forward, or that year forward, I should say, because that was the year my my best friend, my oldest friend, Steve Hurley, whom I've known since I was maybe five. We're still buddies. We just saw The Hobbit together. We went to the 7-Eleven that is now a cigarette and cell phone store.
Oh, boy.
On Saddle Creek, just down the street from where he lives still, and my grandmother used to live across the street from him. There was a thing called spinner racks in those days,
mm-hmm.
and it was filled with the comic books. Well, I had no money, and he did. And he purchased for me, using a full dollar plus whatever tax would have been on top of those 50-cent comics. He bought me two comic books. The first comic books I ever received in my life. The first two I've ever read. I still own them. They are in the worst condition you've probably ever seen a comic book. I think they may have been restapled, may have been taped up. They are horrible to look at. If you saw them, you'd be like, oh my God. I still have them. I've replaced them with readable, nice copies, of course. They were Kazar the Savage number 5, King Conan number 7. And those two books destroyed me and have made me who I am now. They destroyed the young man and rebuilt him. Because then that was the year my grandmother bought my brother, myself, and my sister all a subscription. She got me Star Wars, my brother John Thor, and my sister Julie Dazzler. And then all those comics became mine.
Hey, all right.
Because my sister and brother were like, comics, eh.
Who cares? Right.
But yeah, man, those two books sealed the deal for me. And so that has to go. It has to be those books.
That is awesome. That's a cool story.
I'll make him listen to this podcast just so he can hear it.
Then it's going to get sappy just like Steven and Hunter S. Thompson.
I guess so. Yeah. Yeah, I think he knows this, though. I think I've made a point to tell him.
That's good. You should always let the people in your life know how important they are to you. My answer is sort of similar in the sense that it was very formative for me. If you've listened to this show long enough, you have heard me talk about some of the first comics I ever had, those weird ass digest sized reprints of like Swamp Thing from DC and the Marvel team ups from Marvel. Those were Christmas gifts to me at a very young age. I would have been like 3 years old at the time.
That's crazy.
They came out in like 81 or 82. I remember getting those as a gift from one of my relatives. I don't even remember which relative, unfortunately, but I know that I was at my grandma's house on Christmas Eve because that's where we spent that night every year when they still lived in town. And that had such an impact on me. Like, that put me on the path to become the Joe Patrick I am today. And I feel like, if I'm recalling correctly, I got something along those lines every year for a few years, if not those black and white reprints, but Blue Ribbon Digests was another one I got. Those DC newsstand Blue Ribbon Digests, which were reprint books, and they did, you know, the best stories of the year or the best Superman stories featuring aliens or kryptonite or Legion of Superheroes themed or whatever. And I got those as well. And so somebody early on in my life was making sure that I got comics and making sure that I loved comics, and it worked. And look at me now. Way to go.
Yeah.
You did it. And the best part is, well, I mean, it all come back to me. What made me remember when I got them, I was doing some Christmas cleaning in my office at home. Because I promised my wife that I would get rid of all my old junk that I didn't need to keep any. Blah!
Holy, what is this?
Hey guys, Joe Patrick here. A little bit of a technical snag. I accidentally, apparently, deleted the very, very end of the show. Don't know how that happened. I thought I saved it. It said I saved it. But when I reopened it, it was gonzo. But you didn't really miss much. Here's the bottom line. I still have those books. It's awesome. I found them while I was cleaning as a Christmas gift to my wife. So in creating another Christmas gift, I found the best Christmas gift. My very first comics that made me the fan I am today. Hooray for everyone. Thank you to all of you that called in. Thank you to Wooly Toots, who filled in for Matt Bomb. Sorry I caught off the grand finale, but it is what it is. The bulk of the show is still there. There will be a new question of the week next week, or rather a new answer of the week next week, even though we're taking a week off from the normal podcast. This week's question, courtesy of Toots himself, what is your favorite holiday-themed comic book story? There's lots of them. I know we don't have to explain that. You'll figure it out. You can call the hotline, 402-819-4894. Send an MP3. You know the drill. The lady will tell you what to do. For now, though, we want to say thank you from the bottom of our hearts for being awesome, for being the best audience any podcasters could ever want. You guys are the best gift we have ever received. We wish you all the best of this holiday season, whatever it is you're doing, whether you celebrate or not. That's okay. We want you to be happy. We want you to be well. But until next time, this is the Two-Headed Nerd. One head sitting alone by himself with a room full of pugs. Signing off.
So like that's our song. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas
and good day.
Good day, everybody. Happy New Year, too. Okay, you know what you left out?
What?
Donuts. I told you to get me donuts. Either on the 9th day or the 10th day or the 11th day.
Okay,
I wanted donuts. But I want
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Or on the 12th day, you could have gotten me a dozen donuts.
Go on to the
store. You could have gone down
get some
to
presents.
Like a good donut shop where if you buy a dozen, you get another one free. And that would have been 13 for the 13 days of Christmas.
Next Christmas, get me a chainsaw. Take off. Boy, that song is a beauty. Move.
Yeah, I think it ranks up there with Stairway to Heaven.